evening, everybody. We have some new students with us tonight, and so we will be doing some review, as is our wont. In every class, we start with the Anabakoach, because this is the energy of creation, and we want to bring that energy into our class. So please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, good luck. Sorry about that. The technology failed us, and we were disconnected. So we're going to start over again, but first we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Ana Bekoach Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Gabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged so that we spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, which are the entry point for the negative side. Na gibor dor sheyehudecha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The first three letters, Nun gimel dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. Sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we utilize to take back the energy that we have given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach. It's also the sequence of letters, the verse that we will utilize during the month of Av. So we connect to the letters that created the sun, which is the letter Kaf, which is the ruler of the month of Av, and the Tet, which created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, as well as the month of Av. And we utilize these letters to go to the seed level, to go to the source, to the DNA. If we want to change anything in our lives, we do so by going to the seed, to the source, the DNA of creation, and that's the letters. The Sphira of Netzach, one of its aspects is eternal victory. And the eternal victory is not just winning a battle or a war, but truly winning the only war that counts, which is the war against our desire to receive for oneself alone. Chasin Kadosh Virov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Chet Kufbet Chet Nunayan. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Hod. The major aspect of Hod is appreciation, thankfulness. It's a good time to be aware of what we need to appreciate, what's good to appreciate, and always to ask for more, because that's the essence of the Creator, wanting to give you more goodness. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence of letters is used to help speed the spread of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. This is the seventh verse, the verse of manifestation. The first two letters, the Shin and the Kuf, has a gematria of 400. 400 is 4 times 10 times 10. It's the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. It is the essence of perfection. Vav Tzadi Yud Tav has a gematria of 506, like the first verse, and teaches us that perfection and the road to perfection is only created through the attribute of love. And we say the eighth verse in a whisper, which is we refer to as silently. It means we say it at the level of voice that if someone is standing next to you, you can hear it and they can't. But for the purposes of teaching, I will say it out loud tonight. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Now that we brought creation into our class, we're now going to bring holiness, Kedusha, into our class. I'm reading from the Parsha of Hazinu, from the Book of the Physician Kartana, section 60. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kodaneihu V'alda Itzterich V'yasya Hakim Rish Tadla Ale I Yakil Lemehav Le Asvavta Min Gufa Yaut Ve'ilav Iten Le Asvavta Venishmate Rish Tadal Al Asvavta Venishmata Vedahu Asya Tikuchabarihu Istadal Ale Vahayalma Uvalma Diate. A wise physician is therefore needed to make efforts for him. If he can administer bodily medicine, it is well. Otherwise, he should give him healing for his soul, and strive for healing for the soul. The Holy One, blessed be he, will strive to bless such a physician in this world, and in the world to come. Until here, the words of the book of the physician, Kaitana. The verse is a little esoteric. Basically, the Ari teaches in the reincarnation that doctors who have egos, who don't think that they are the healers and not the creator, that they are a channel for that healing. Doctors who have this attitude reincarnate into places that are not really beneficial to them. And that's what this verse is talking about, alluding to, and expanding upon, but it doesn't come out, I didn't say it, in the Zohar directly at this time. But a physician, we always have to remember, any illness, when it manifests in the physical body, started as a spiritual illness. There were spiritual actions that were incorrect, that caused the soul to be in pain, to cause the soul to have, God, can't really say that they have lack, but there's some illness associated with the soul. An example of this is the physical world, everything that happens in the physical world has a spiritual cause. And that is our job, to look, to learn to look for that spiritual cause, to learn to look for cause and effect. Because the only way we can change physicality is to change the spiritual aspect of what has taken place. So we have brought the creative process into the classroom. We have brought the Kedusha through the Zohar into the classroom. We're ready to proceed. This is the fifth class that we'll be giving in San Diego. Before we go on, tonight we're going to be talking about the 72 names of God and the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. Before we go on, does anybody have any questions?
Just before you got interrupted, mm-hmm. You were talking about there is a certain types of thoughts lead to a certain state.
No, actually, the question is about what I was saying before the technical failure about Lashon Hara, which is evil speech. About the technical difficulties. I was just explaining that this is is obviously a spiritual issue, and we will never find out what it is, because we'll move on and see about things. Fred, did you have another question you wanted to talk about? It's actually Lushan Tov. Good speech is confirmed.
Blessing someone
is good speech. But if your consciousness is wider, are you blessing him?
I just experience spontaneous blessing.
Yes. Well, this is the way the system works. And that's part of what we will talk about. But I'd like to move on and talk about what we'd scheduled to talk about. I'd be happy to answer your questions any other time, and maybe later this evening before my next class. Tonight we're talking about the 72 names, and earlier before the recording, Batya was asking some questions about the Kabbalah Center and B'nai Baruch group and my teachings, and as she perceived them, they're very similar, if not the same. And she was asking what was the differences. And what I had said to her was that a teacher has the same root of your soul. So as Batya said, she listens to Rabbi Lateman and doesn't really understand what he's saying. Whereas in the Kabbalah Center, she listens or read, and it was very clear to her. It's just an indication that her soul root and their soul root are consistent. My background started with the Kabbalah Center, but I study now from many, many different aspects. But almost everybody follows the Zohar, the Ari, the Baal Shem Tov, and then Rabbi Ashlag in the 20th century. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about something that is different than the other people teach. The 72 names of God is something that is spoken of in the portion of B'Shalach in the Zohar. And Rabbi Ashlag, when he wrote his commentary called the Sulam, was the first person to our knowledge in history who literally put the chart together. You can look at the chart. The general approach to the chart is, by the way, the people on the conference call, that on the Hashem website, on the Revealed Wisdom link, class number 4, you will see handouts which have all of the different things that we'll be looking at today. And the first sheet that we have printed out is the 72 Names of God chart, which was, as I said, Rabbi Ashlag was the first one to put together. The Zohar is very clear how to put it together, but it doesn't put it together. Rabbi Ashlag, in his commentary, goes through that process. The 72 Names of God take place in the portion of B'Shalach, which is the crossing of the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. It is chapter 14, verses 19, 20, and 21. Nowhere in the Tanakh, that's the second page, nowhere else in the Tanakh do you have three verses in a row that have 72 letters. And the way we take those three verses and break them down to their component letters in particular orders, we create the 72-name chart. Many of our tzaddikim over the centuries have done so in an order that is different than is directed by the Zohar. I'm teaching you about this tonight, that none of the other locations of Kabbalah teach. The Kabbalah Center says, in the last 72 words of the Shema, utilize the 72 names from the Tzaddikim as your meditation tool. But, and in their siddur, they print it that way. But they don't really describe what it is about or why or go into any of the details about the name. These three verses in the Tanakh, and if we go even a little further before these three verses, the Jews, the children of Israel, are standing at the Red Sea. They are protected from the Egyptian 600 chariots plus by the fire that went behind them to keep the two parties separated. And they are facing the Red Sea in front of them, animals and horrible deaths on their sides, and the Egyptians behind them. Where are they supposed to go? And they say, Matitzach alai. And Batshis speaks Hebrew, so I'm going to ask you to tell me what Matitzach alai says, because I don't. Ma is what or why?
Why you're winning over me, or why you're...
Why you're, the English translation says, why are you calling to me? Who are the people supposed to call? And God says to Moshe, Matitzach alai, why are you calling to me? You agree with the translation? Is it close?
Yes.
Who are you supposed to call for? When you're in trouble, who do you ask for? You ask for God. You ask for a higher power. You know that you can't get out of it. You don't see a logical way out of it. And yet God says to Moshe, why are you calling to me? And then the Midrash describes that Moses parts the Red Sea. And the Midrash says, Moses didn't part it. He waved his staff, which, according to the Midrash, has the 72 names of God engraved upon it. And he says to the people, move forward. And nobody moves. Because they look and they see the physical world. There's an ocean there. There's a sea there. There's no place to go. And finally, one chief, one leader of a tribe, Nachson ben Amani Nadav, the tribe leader of the tribe of Judah, starts walking into the sea, and the water comes up, and it doesn't part. And the water comes up to his waist, and it doesn't part. Water comes up to his chest, his armpits, and it doesn't. And the water comes up to his neck, and it still doesn't part. And it covers his mouth, still doesn't part. And just as it's deep enough that his nostrils are going under the water parts. Who parted the Red Sea? First off, let's talk. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Yam Suf. And Yam Suf is really, Yam means sea, and Suf means end. It's the Sea of End. It's translated as the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, Chaim Yankel Sea. It's very clear what those two words mean. It's the Sea of End. Who parted the Yam Suf was Moshe. Who actually parted the Yam Suf was the children of Israel's certainty. When he walked into the water, his certainty that Moshe was telling him to do this, it would be all right, I don't know how it will be all right, but it will be all right. That certainty is what creates by sound. Scan the 72 name chart right to left, top to bottom. Do it every morning along with the saying of the Anabikoach. As you do it, you will find that certain names will pop out at you that day, and tomorrow there'll be other names that will pop out at you. All that's telling you is that those names are the ones you need today. Each of the 72 names are part of a whole. There's 216 letters. 216 is the gematria of the word Aryeh, the lion, the constellation of that we're in during Leo. 72 is a gematria associated with Chokhmah, with wisdom, with the highest spherot. Also in your handout is a list of what each name connects to. There are some people who spend a lot of time memorizing that connection. That's fine if that's what you choose to do. The reason we tell you to scan all 72 names each time is because we want you to connect to all of the energy and not the fragmented energy. As an example of fragmented energy, the first row, fifth box from the right, has the letters Mem, He, Shin. That box, that sequence of letters is connected to healing. What? So why don't you go ahead and heal? Why don't you just heal? You're not feeling well. You have an illness. You need an operation. Why don't you just connect to that one box, one sequence of letters? And the answer is, how do you know what you truly need? Maybe your physical illness is coming from your emotional stress about money. Maybe your physical illness is coming from relationships that you haven't handled well. Do you know the true source of your need for healing? Or are you healing a symptom? Scan all 72 boxes, right to left, top to bottom. The reason being, it's one complete whole. It's all of the energy to manipulate and control physicality. Do I know what I'm doing when I do that? If I pick up the remote control to a television set and I push the button to change the channel, do I know how to build the TV? No. Do I know how to build the remote control? No. But I have changed the physical world by pushing the button. I've changed the television to a different channel. That's what these sequences allow us to do, to change the world. There are people in the world who have studied and who are sufficiently pure enough in their soul to learn how to manipulate physicality on that level, similar to building a television set. But for the majority of us, simply scanning allows our soul to utilize that without harming us in that process. Now, I teach one additional aspect. There, I'm handing out what's printed from the website. This is the 72-name chart, and this is the 72-name chart with my name and all intermixed. You can follow that. I teach that the energies involved, and we have this throughout our prayers, in the Kavanot of our prayers, the Kabbalists teach us to connect to different sequences of God's names with our own name, or with the word Neshama. And so what I am doing with this chart, which is available as a spiritual gift for someone to give to you, or one for you to give to yourself, but I make that available for your individual name. I just ask one thing, is that you promise to use it. Don't waste my time with it. Don't make me put it together, and then you print it out and don't use it. So when you're ready, when you feel comfortable, by taking the energy cycle of these three-letter sequences and injecting it, intertwining it with your name, which is a connection to your soul, you are actually bringing that energy, that metaphysical energy, into your soul, strengthening that aspect of your soul that needs it, bringing it into the unity. So, and one other thing that I provide is the sequence of the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, also connected to your name. So all of that is available on the ESM website. I'm not pushing it. Everything that I do is about free. I do ask for donations just because I have bills to pay. But the basic information that is available on the 72 names of God, that the Kabbalah Center published a book for each name. They've given you an example. As I said, the Mem Hei Shin is the name for healing. The first box, Vav Hei Vav, is a sequence that we say Friday night. We say Vayehulu Hashemayim. That sequence, the first letter of those three words, Et Hashemayim, is those first letters create the sequence Vav Hei Vav. Vayehulu is what we say, or what was said at the first Shabbat, the moment of creation, when sundown came Friday night on the day that the Adam and Chava sinned. Vav Hei Vav is a time-traveling mechanism that takes you back to that level of consciousness of the first Shabbat. Is that Shabbat more pure than the Shabbats we have now? It's up to us. As we were saying before the disconnection, Kaf Hei Taf, the last box on the top row, the box on the left side, that is a mechanism. It's like a laser-like energy that totally destroys negativity. And it's what was used by Mordechai and Esther in dealing with Haman. All of these names have been used throughout the history of the Jewish people. All of these names, there are deeper levels with each of these names. It's not about getting deeper. It's about connecting your soul to these names by making it a ritual to scan it at least once a day. Say the Ana B'Koach, scan the 72 names. This is the teaching. It's a very simple teaching. Everything is there on the website for you to print out. When you're ready for the for your own connection to your own name, send me an email, let me know your name, and I will provide it for you. Study the names, what they mean, but know that they are all part of one whole. That when you fragment them, I'll give you an example. The 29th name and the 40th name, there's eight boxes, eight rows, nine rows and eight columns. So if you find 29 is Resh Yud Yud, and 40 is Yud Yud Zion. When you put those two names together, you now have Resh Yud 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 Zion. The word Raz, Resh Zion, means secret. Yud 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 is four Yuds. There is a verse in the Torah, Ki Ani Rofecha. Continuing, the gematria of those six letters is 247. When I put the two names together, I am authorized to add one for the kolel, which makes it 248. 248 are the parts of the body. There are deeper levels to each name. There is a connection between each name and all of the other names. All of this is available for your study as you raise your consciousness, but ultimately start at the beginning. Scan all 72 names of God, right to left, top to bottom. Then scan all 72 names of the Tzaddikim, right to left, top to bottom. When you are ready to inject these energies into your soul, and you look at the chart with your name, right to left, top to bottom, always in unity, always in the totality. This is what, every day it will be a different group of names that you will be needing that day for the energy that's going to take place. So those names will pop out at you. You'll want to stop in the middle of your scanning. You'll want to be looking at these names. Fred, when you came in and said that you're looking at the cards, you're going to find yourself looking at these, and it'll be different each day because that's the universe knows what you need. Let the universe work. Trust the process. Never believe a word I say. This is a teaching. It's the rule number one of this class. Never believe a word I say. But please do what I ask you to do and prove to yourself whether it works or not. It always works, but no one's going to ever prove it to you. But you can prove it to yourself. I don't know what time it is. 8:15, so it's a little early. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, you can say letter by letter. Vav, hey, Vav. You can say Vav, hey, Vav. Yud, Lamed, Yud. Samach, Yud, Tet. But not... Don't read the word. Don't put a vowel to the letters. Don't put the vowels to the letter. As an example, the name Mem He Shin is known as Mahash, because that's the vowels that make sense for a Hebrew speaker to utilize. But the truth is, Mem He Shin can be permutated. It spells the name Hashem, and it spells the name Moshe, and it's all built into that same sequence. And there's a phrase on Shabbat morning that we say, Me'olam Hu Shemecha, that is Mem He Shin in reverse, that we stop and meditate at that point to connect to the healing. All of this is additional information that comes to you over time when you are ready for it. What you are ready for tonight is to start scanning. Does anybody have any other questions? These are the tools to manipulate creation. They're very powerful. But they cannot hurt you. There is a protection shield that works in the spiritual system that when there is someone asking for energy, the light, the fulfillment of that request will only, there's a conversation that takes place, and essentially the conversation goes like this: I'm a light bulb looking for light, looking for energy. I want energy. And the light says to the bulb, how much energy do you want? 5 watts? 100 watts? 1,000 watts? 1,000,000 watts? How much energy do you want? And the vessel answers, your soul answers, I want this much energy. And that's what you will receive, because your soul knows what you can handle. And the light has this conversation and does not exceed what it knows you can handle. But as you grow your vessel through doing these actions, and through next week's class when we talk about restriction, as you grow your vessel, you will start to get more each time you scan it. The action will be the same, but what transfers to you will be greater. What you need for your vessel on that day. You do it once a day. If you want unlimited love, hey, I am. And you say, and Baja's saying, where does that come from? Hey, I am doesn't. We don't understand how that relates to love, but it does. It's this third row. The point is, I'm telling you, please, use them all. Because you're not at a level to know what you need. You're not.
Scan them all.
Yes.
And say, why healing? Just look at that one and surrender yes. to God. And that would be
it. Yes. Yes.
Scan them all.
But scan them all first, always. Yes.
Now, the time travel, that is only that activity for
some. No, we travel back to Mount Sinai by reading a prayer on before the taking out of the Torah on the Ark on Saturday morning. It's called Brit Shma. It's an Aramaic prayer that we say has 130 words in it, and Sinai is a gematria of 130. So, where do you want to go in the time travel? And there are different sequences and different techniques to utilize. So. But the Vav Hei Vav takes you back to the moment of creation, which is ultimately the most energy you'll ever see. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, before we end, candy, chocolate. be concentrated on that block, would you concentrate?
Let me read you the meditation, because I think that'll help you understand it. The dream state is Laban Laban Hay. The meditation that the Kabbalah Center recommends. With this name you dream truthfully. Your soul ascends to safe and loving places during the night. You awake each morning recharged, reinvigorated, renewed in body and spirit, wiser. Now, what that's really saying is, what we learn about the spiritual system, when we go to sleep, our soul leaves our body. There is a connection left, so there's part of the soul, a small part that remains. But the majority of the soul elevates. And it only elevates as far as the actions of that day allow it to elevate. So if you've done negative actions during that day, the negative entities are given permission to attack your soul as you elevate. And you don't get too far. And if you've ever had 8 hours of sleep and woken up just as tired as when you went to bed, it's because the day before you did negative actions and the negative entities attacked you all night long, so you've got no rest on your soul level. When you do positive actions, you can elevate all the way to Hashem, the highest levels. This name will help you to sleep. It will help you to elevate. It will help you to have a restful sleep. But ultimately, the correction that will take place is stop doing negative actions and recognize why you didn't sleep well that night and accept your responsibility in doing that, which is another aspect of what I teach. Because we live in a generation that no longer has access, in my opinion, to righteous people who can do the work for us. We are in a generation that has to do the work ourselves. And that's what Kabbalah allows us to do by giving us these kinds of tools. That's what I hope you'll continue to learn.
Is there a name?
Yes.
Let's say, before they go through all the scan, all 7 days, we're going to ask to be forgiven.
It's you're bringing something that I'm not attacking. I'm trying to explain the way the spiritual system is set up. And over the centuries, different people have been given different messages about their spiritual system. And for this root of their soul, it may be appropriate. But what we understand the spiritual system and the way it works, God is never angry, never upset. God is only wanting to give you more goodness. That is his nature. That is the system. What happens is when we do a negative action, we create a separation, a blockage that doesn't let us receive all that we might. So who am I asking for forgiveness? God doesn't care what I do. He wants to give me goodness. He feels some aspect when I do something negative that separates it and doesn't let me get what I need or what I should get. But ultimately, who do I have to forgive? But there are tools called tshuva that allow you to change the actions that you did in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes. And then also in the spiritual system, if I did a negative action that hurt a human being, another person, I have to ask that person's forgiveness before I can cleanse it completely. So who am I asking forgiveness from? From God, there's no need to. From the other person that I've hurt, absolutely. And that could be done both on the spiritual level or on the physical level. Better on the physical if they're still alive. But I've had students who had issues with parents who have passed and grandparents who have passed. And we've had that level on a spiritual level where they've cleansed it in that process and moved on.
What about just a quick flash of anger on the freeway? Is that a thing I can do spiritually?
Yes. Not only can you, but you need to stop getting angry. That quick flash that goes away, what went away was your positive soul, and what's left in place is your negative soul. And that negative soul is going to take your body and do some negative actions that you're going to have the consequences for. So we need to cleanse anger. And one of the names will help you to do that. Anger is absolutely the worst negative action you can do, to get angry at someone. Because when you truly understand the system, cause and effect, the person who came into your life and caused you to get angry is a messenger from the universe giving you the opportunity not to get angry. And you fell. You didn't accomplish the goal. So now you get to do it again. Only this time it'll be harder. It's the way the system works. I'm not trying to frighten you or threaten you. It's the way the spiritual system works.
There's also some kind of book I got from the library. A book of Jewish law. And you recommended washing your hands every morning.
Absolutely.
Because you're gone during the night. Your body's on.
Correct.
They stay in your hands.
Well, it's not that they stay in your hands. They stay in all parts of your body until your soul returns. And as your soul returns, the last part that is left is your fingertips. And so by cleansing that, washing it with water in a certain ritual manner, we're able to remove that negative soul from interfering in our life that day. When people don't know it, I can tell you stories of babies whose parents didn't do it, and they ended up with all kinds of eye infections because the babies are rubbing their eyes right away. But when the parents started to wash, their eye infections went away. And it had nothing to do with the physical, because the baby's fingers aren't dirty. It's all about spirituality.
So, and the baby had allowed the negative
spirit? Yeah, the baby had done something in last lifetime. So he was being given permission to attack the baby and to cause upset for the mother and the father, who's, why is my baby always sick? These are all questions. The universe is perfectly, the universe is perfect. It is fair. It is complete. We can't see it. And that's what we need to learn. How to see it and understand what is cause and effect. When you see a mother holding a baby and you see this gorgeous little infant, wonderful infant, how cute, how beautiful, how wonderful. Or you can see the soul that last lifetime killed 400 men and was a doctor where they butchered 300 people in surgeries. Maybe they didn't do it consciously, wanting to, but that's the result. So what do you see? The little baby that's pure, or the soul that has all this baggage bringing into this world? And it's not that this baby or this story is bad people. Every human being is only here because they didn't get it right last lifetime. Every human being has baggage they brought into this world. Learning what that baggage is and how to correct it is what this life is about. And the basic tool is learning to see cause and effect. You're driving down the freeway and you're interchanging energy with the car next to you. You have an aura that people talk about the blue and the green and the yellow and all of this. truth is, the aura extends out 88 inches in all directions. So if you're driving down the street, the driver on the car right next to you is within your aura. You're exchanging energy with him and he with you. And that's why you're driving at that moment, at that speed. You're making a correction with that soul. We don't see it. We're not aware of it. And ultimately, it doesn't impact our life too greatly. But it does cleanse the universe.
So, correction with that soul, is that a correction that I have personally, or two souls together joined in correction?
It's what you have with that soul, and ultimately it may be what your soul root has with his soul root. We're not on that level to be able to determine which is which. But someone that you marry, you obviously have a much stronger correction with than the people that you ride up in an elevator with that you will never see again. But both groups have corrections with each other. Any other questions?
On the website, is there a glossary or something like that?
Well, there is a lot of words that we have a dictionary of, so that you'll see words like Kabbalah or Hashem that are highlighted in a different color, and if you roll over them, it'll come up. If there's a word that you're seeing that you don't understand, if you'll write me, I'll add it to the dictionary for you. But the website is under development continuously, so forgive us if it's not complete yet. But anything that you don't see, you should be able to get an understanding so that it doesn't interfere with your reading and interfere with your information. Kabbalah is a very exact science. The language is exact. It's more exact than mathematics. E equals MC squared is an example that I use. Let's say this weighed 4 grams. There's a lot of energy in those 4 grams if we exploded it on an atomic level, correct? So I could hold the 4 grams in my hand, but can I hold the energy in my hand? The answer is no. Therefore, E equals MC squared is a lie. It's not equal on both sides. I can only hold the mass, not the energy. Whereas with Kabbalah, the language is very specific, very exact, and as you learn, you'll start to utilize that language and understand the difference in meaning. Sometimes you think, you mentioned earlier, the world to come. The world to come is a word that you heard from somebody over some course of your life. What does it mean? It's a very exact definition. What is the world to come? It's not the world of Mashiach. It's not the world after Mashiach. The world to come is when you transform from one level of consciousness to a higher level of consciousness. You have reached the world to come. Now that you're at that level of consciousness, will you have another higher level of consciousness to strive for? Yes. And so you now have a new world to come. Will you fall? Yes, we fall and rise. That's part of life's cycle. But understanding these terms and what they mean is part of what has to be learned. Any other questions? I'm going to bid you all good night. I'm going to remind you to send donations if you feel it's appropriate. Remind you also that tonight at 10 p.m. we will be doing an advanced class talking about the mitzvah of loving the ger, loving the stranger. And tomorrow night, Thursday night, We will, at 10 o'clock, we will be reading from the Zohar, from the portion of Chazinu, because there is no Zohar portion for Devarim. And I also recommend tomorrow night is the 5th of Av, which is halfway in the middle of the 9 days of these negative days. And the 5th of Av is the Hilulah, the death anniversary, the day of joy, when the Ari left the world. And there is a there's 84-page PDF file on the website, or there's a link to the, where it is off the website, that I recommend that you stay up as much as you can to gain the energy of balance during these 9 days, because the universe is, I don't want to say out to get you, the universe is leaning to the desire to receive for oneself alone, and it's very easy to fall during these 9 days. And we need all of the balance in our life that we can get. And that's why the Ari chose to leave the world on this Chod Shebechod, on this potential day, the day of potential energy for balance in the universe. Any other questions? No, I have to put what, but in the meantime, just have the consciousness